The first aliyah of Parshas Truma begins with the notion of taking donations for the Mishkan, and here the placement immediately after Parshas Mishpatim, the Beis Halevi suggests is to convey the importance of making sure that these donations don't come from Gezel. So first we learn the principles of monetary law, and then hear about the donations. And the Beis Levi also has a comment on the unusual language of the Yichuli Truma. One would have thought that the commandment should be to give a truma. The Aznayim Latarah suggests that the reference to taking is to convey just how difficult it is to get people involved, but the Beis Halevi has a different spin on this and suggests that this is to teach us that there is no investment like staka, that if one wants to make sure that he actually will be able to continue holding on to his property, there's nothing one can do that will guarantee that will be the case other than to give it towards staka, because that creates a zchus that will be eternal, and any other investment is not anywhere near as guaranteed. And anything else that we spend our money on could get lost, but spending our money towards tzedakah is a way to make sure that there will indeed be a permanent possession of that money and that it will continue to benefit us. The word after, vayichu, is also significant. Li, Rashi tells us this means lishmi, that there should be a mentality of doing this lishma. And the Aznayim Latarah comments here that this highlights the fact that even collectors of tzedaka should be lishma and should be motivated accordingly. The pasuk also contains the phrase asher yidvenu libo. The Aznayim Latarah comments about that as well, that this is related to the idea that the pasuk in Tehillim tells us vani b'tzedek echazeh panecha, that if we want to experience the Shechina, we need to create a context of giving, of generosity, nadiva salev. And that's the notion that the Arizal popularized of giving staka before tefillah. And he suggests also, the Aznayim Latarah, that this is why the Gemara says in Brachos that one shouldn't daven in a churva, in a ruin. And he suggests that the imagery is that an environment that has been neglected, that no one cares about, is inconsistent with the atmosphere that we're trying to create for tefillah. And in Pasuk Ches, we find this core directive of Yasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, and let them make a Mikdash. This is a reference not only to the Mishkan, but as the Mechas Chinuch emphasizes, also to every structure that we have had in which Korbanos have been brought through the Beis HaMikdash and through the second Beis HaMikdash and presumably through the third Beis HaMikdash as well. And this is true that one pasuk can cover all of those, even though they look different and had different details, a point that was raised by the Ramban, as other Mephorshim note, such as the Arachayim and the Re'aim. We have a notion that everything had to be constructed through the instruction of the Navi, Hakol Biksav Miyad Hashem Malai Hizkil. So therefore, in each case, there were instructions as to what this edifice should be, and therefore they all can indeed be addressed by this one mitzvah. The Smag, however, cites a different pasuk, the pasuk in Re'eh, of V'haya Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokeich L'Shaken Shemosham. The Lechem Mishnah notes that in the beginning of Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam brings this pasuk as well, in addition to quoting in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the pasuk in our parsha, and the Brisker Rav suggested that there are two components to the mitzvah. There is the mitzvah to figure out where the place of the Shechina is meant to be, for the sense of L'shichno Sidrashu Uvas Hashama. And then there is the pasuk in our parsha, which contains the mitzvah of construction. The Gemara tells us that there are limitations to when the Beis HaMikdash can be constructed. The Gemara in Shavuos tells us that it's not built at night. And the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos tells us that this does not override Shabbos. If that's the case, then the Beis HaMikdash doesn't get built on Shabbos or Yontif or at night, then it has essentially the same limitations as tefillin, which are not worn on Shabbos or Yontif or at night. And tefillin are held up in the Gemara and Kedushin as the example of a mitzvah saseh shahazman grama. So if that's the case, women should be exempt from the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. However, the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, writes that there is the obligation to construct the Beis HaMikdash that devolves upon everyone, men and women. So there is much discussion as to what is the difference. How come women are exempt from tefillin as a mitzvah saseh shahazman grama, but not from binyan beis hamikdash, which seems to have the same limitations? Some suggest that we find that these limitations are not absolute exclusions, they're simply prohibitions, because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah indicates that it's possible that the Beis HaMikdash may suddenly become constructed on the first day of Pesach or on the following night, either of which would seem to defy these rules. So one approach is to suggest that the third Beis HaMikdash will come down directly from Shemayim and won't be constructed by human beings, and perhaps that would show us that these limitations do not create a puzzle Beis HaMikdash, a disqualified Beis HaMikdash, but are simply external prohibitions. So that's one approach to suggest the impact of these restrictions on the mitzvah Bina Beis HaMikdash is limited. There are a number of other approaches as well. The Minchas Elazar, for example, has a tshuva in which he suggests four reasons why these limitations do not turn Binyan Beis HaMikdash into a mitzvah sasei shehazman grama. One of them is that they don't actually restrict the mitzvah into a limited time zone, but simply pause it when the mitzvah then resumes after the night or the yontif has passed. The suggestion he has is that perhaps the limitation of mitzvah sasei shehazman grama doesn't apply to kachim, a suggestion found in some svarim, which then raises the issue of whether Beis HaMikdash is itself called kachim, or is that designation limited to the korbanos. And another suggestion he has is that this would be an exception to the rule of mitzvah sasei shehazman grama, because the psukim indicate explicitly that women were involved in the construction of the Mishkan, or at least parts of it, as the language of the pasuk, v'kol isha chachma slave, which itself is the topic of a discussion in the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak and others, whether that reflected an obligation for the women to be involved, which would override the otherwise limitation of mitzvah sasei shehazman grama, or perhaps that was a voluntary action. Another suggestion that Minchas Elazar has is that perhaps the reference the Rambam makes to requiring the women to be involved as well is not about the construction per se, but it's about all of the preparations and other steps necessary in order to make this happen. And this is related to other questions that were asked about the nature of the obligation. And we find in other svarim, for example, do we consider the obligation in Binyan Beis HaMikdash to be an obligation on the tzibur as a whole or on individuals? This is the topic of a tshuva in the Sefer Yachal Yisrael of Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, where he notes that if the obligation is on individuals, so then exemptions such as mitzvah sasei shehazman grama would be relevant. But if it's on the entire community, so then perhaps we can understand why it is that women would be involved as well. And that connects to another question, presumably, the question of whether the Beis HaMikdash as a mitzvah, is it an inherently valuable mitzvah done for its own sake, or is it really a hechsher mitzvah? Is it really something that is there in order to enable other activities such as the korbanos? This could be related to a different machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, regarding whether the kelim were included in this mitzvah. The Rambam understands that the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash included the kelim as well, while the Ramban counted the construction of the kelim as a separate mitzvah. And what this seems to reflect, as the Svarim explain, are two different perspectives on what the Beis HaMikdash was meant for. According to the Rambam, perhaps we understand that it's meant to facilitate the bringing of the korbanos, and therefore everything that's a part of that is considered included in the mitzvah. So therefore, all of it is necessary for communal needs, and therefore it's really understood as a communal mitzvah, and perhaps that's why the Rambam understands that women are obligated as well. While the Ramban, if he counts the kelim as a separate mitzvah, perhaps it's because he understands the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash as not necessarily for the korbanos, but that it should be a home for the Shechina. The idea that the Rambam's understanding is that the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to facilitate the korbanos should be noted together with the fact that the Rambam does paskin like the opinion in the Gemara of Shamati Shemakrivin Afal Pi Shein Bayis, that it is possible to bring korbanos even without a Beis HaMikdash, but that need not be seen as a contradiction. The same way we have a mitzvah to build a Beis HaKnesses, which many understand to be related also to the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and there it's clearly to facilitate prayer, even though we know that prayer can also take place outside of a Beis HaKnesses. And similarly, just as it's possible to daven outside of a shul, but it's enhanced by the presence of a shul, so too, the Rambam could understand the korbanos the same way, that they could conceivably be brought outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but nonetheless, the mitzvah of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash is to enhance that process and to serve that end. Towards the end of the Aliyah, we have an instruction regarding the Badim, the poles of the Aron of Lo Yasuru Mimenu, they may not be removed from their place. The Sefer Achinuch explains that one understanding of this is because there was a specific tzura that was supposed to convey a certain imagery and that had to remain constant, or that perhaps this is out of kavod, that perhaps there would be a need to move in a hurried fashion, and therefore they needed to be ready to go at any time. And Rav Shamshon Ofel Hirsch understands that indeed that that's a part of the message to show us that the Torah is able to go anywhere and is not limited to any one place. The Meshech Chachma had an additional reference here that this shows the importance of the supporters of Torah, that they must always be acknowledged and respected, and therefore returns to the theme of the beginning of the Aliyah, the role that all of the Jewish people play in contributing to the existence and the maintenance of the Mishkan and the Aron.